The word priest in Latin is the word bridge builder. Jesus is our bridge to God the Father. Amen. John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'm the only bridge to get you to God.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, happy Friday. We're so glad you've chosen to join us. Today, Pastor Bill begins a study in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Pastor examines why Jesus is worthy of more glory than even Moses, the revered servant of God. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he would build the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Now, Pastor Bill, with today's message, consider this.
Amen. This morning, as we look, we're only going to look at six verses in Hebrews chapter 3. This has been a great study, loved one. And boy, what a great epistle, or really just a letter that we're in this morning. So in chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, we begin the second division of Hebrews, all right? And the theme basically is faithfulness. We're going to see the faithfulness of course, our Lord Jesus, and the faithfulness of Moses. And remember that this letter, chapter, 13:22, this letter was written as an encouragement, a letter of exhortation, the writer says, and I believe, of course, Paul is the writer. And it's meant to encourage these new Jewish believers who have left the old covenant way, in other words, Judaism, and now they're born again. They're filled with the Spirit of God, and for them to keep going on and so forth. And it's also written to us to encourage all of us. Now, we know that the theme of Hebrews is Jesus is better. The word better is used 13 times. The word better means superior. Jesus is better than anyone and anything. Amen? He's better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. He's better than Moses. He's better than Aaron. He is better than Joshua. He is better. Amen? And he is our Lord. But there's also another word that we're learning that's prevalent throughout Hebrews, and that is the word more, which is listed 21 times for us. And so Jesus came to give us more, not less. Now, I don't start thinking like more Cadillacs and more money. I don't mean that. No. He came to give us more. So the book of Hebrews is about more. Did you know that you were created for more, to serve the Lord more, to have more adventure with Jesus? Amen? Now, what I love about the Lord, I was telling Paul Koo the other day, we were talking about Hebrews, and I get emotional about this, a spiritual emotion, if you will, is that I just stand in awe. The word that God has given us about Revolution 2022, 23, 24, you know, meaning that we now revolve. Revolution means to revolve, not revolt, revolve around the head of the church. Amen? And take every direction from him. That's revolution, loved one. You know, it's very important, that word more. We're created for more. We're not created for less. And we need to move into the things that God has for us this year. So I stand in awe that God has given us in 2023, starting us out in the perfect book for our perfect time. Remember what I said about 2023. The Lord spoke to my heart that 2023 is not necessarily a year for Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth. It's a destination. In other words, this is our year to cross over into our spiritual Jordan and appropriate by faith all the promises that God has promised us. Amen? It's not a time to walk in unbelief. Remember the scripture that started out in January on Revolution, where Jesus said in Matthew 11:12, he says, from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. That means that literally we belong to the kingdom of God. We don't take it by force like it sounds. We seize it because it belongs to us. We seize it as a precious possession or prize. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, this is very important that I pray you get what I'm about to say. And I don't want you to take offense in it because it's not meant to be spoken that way. This is a very loving thing I'm about to say. And that is this. We have traveled now in chapter 1 and 2 of Hebrews, and it's been good. It's good for us. Nobody's called me or emailed and said, I don't like that, you know. No, so it's been good, and we've done well. But here's the issue. Now that we're in chapter 3, sadly, the majority of believers today, they live in and they remain in their walk in chapter 3. They never get out of chapter 3 and move into chapter 4. They're just like the children of Israel in a way. Not every believer. In other words, the children of Israel, God gave them more. Amen? The promised land. Did they move into it? The second generation did. I'm talking about the first generation. Did they move into it? No. See, God gave them more, but the majority of the church, the majority of the children of Israel, they settled for less when God says, I'm giving you more. How many people crossed over the Jordan from the old generation? Two. Or now you follow what I'm talking about. That's why chapter 3 is so important. We don't want to be like the children of Israel. We don't want to be stuck in chapter 3 and never get into chapter 4. And that's where we are today. Now listen very carefully before we go to verse 1. Or in a minute we'll be in verse 1. And that is this. The church today, the church, can be the most dangerous place on earth for the Christian. You say, the cheese has slid off the cracker. No. Let me read that again. Say that again. The church today can be the most dangerous place for the Christian. Why? Because over time, over the years, year after year after year after year, many Christians, they hear the Word of God, but it just doesn't have that effect on them anymore. They're comfortable in their chair. They love the Lord, but they're not moving forward. They're not progressing. And they hear it over and over, but they don't do anything with what they hear. When we get to chapter 4, verse 2, we're going to find out they couldn't enter into what God had for them because it didn't profit them, because what they heard, they didn't mix it with faith. And when we get to chapter 3, verse 19, they couldn't enter in. They couldn't enter in. Think about it. They couldn't enter in because they were sinners. No, that's not the reason. They couldn't enter in because they had lied and murdered. There was only one reason that kept the children of Israel from entering into the land of Canaan. Unbelief. Now, do you see how dangerous it is to sit in church year after year and you hear the Word of God, but you never do anything with the Word of God? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Amen? But listen now, but also we must be doers of the Word of God and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Amen? So with all that being said this morning, the title of the sermon is Consider This. Say that with me. Consider this. Now, before we get into verse 1, there's something that we have to do. We have to remove our Gentile mindset or we're not going to understand chapter 3, okay, especially the first 6 verses. So we have to remove our Gentile mindset and we have to think like a first century Jew whose forefathers had been in Judaism for 1,500 years. Now, we're going to consider the man Moses, just briefly before we get into verse 1. Did you know that the name Moses is mentioned 851 times in the Bible? Man, listen, now to the Jew, to the first century Jew, to the Jews 1,500 years prior to that, all they had known was Moses. All they had known was the law of Moses. To the Jew, Moses was the greatest man, the greatest individual that had ever walked the face of this earth. He was literally idolized. The rabbis even considered Moses, the lawgiver, greater than the angels. Are you following me? Now listen, Moses is considered not only the most important man in Judaism and in Christianity, but in other faiths as well. Along with God, Moses, the first 5 books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, which Moses wrote, the first 5 books, they are consumed with Moses and all that Moses was doing. You can even go to Exodus and look out and you'll find 32 times about Moses' faithfulness to God. I mean, it's incredible, this man that we're going to look at this morning. I mean, you know, it's shocking. Do you think it would be shocking to the Jewish believers? They receive this letter from Paul or whoever it was, and they're reading it, and all of a sudden they come to the point in the letter when they say, this man, Jesus, who is the Messiah, the one that they're believing, you're trying to tell me that this man, Jesus, is greater than Moses, that he is to be given more honor than Moses? Do you think that shocked them? Of course it did. And that's why I say we have to think the way they were thinking. I mean, think about it. How would you like to think about Moses? I mean, pulled from the water. Remember how his mom made the little bulrushes in the ark and put him in it and he was floating by? Remember all that? He was a basket case from the beginning or something, you know? You think about that. And then Pharaoh's daughter saw him because an angel probably pinched Moses at the exact right time. He started crying, you know, and all that. And she took him in and then got his own mama to do the nursing and all. Remember? Never mind. I mean, it's unbelievable when you look at this man. Can you believe that God spoke to Moses out of a burning bush? Anybody have that experience lately? No. Listen, Moses, he stood before the most powerful king or Pharaoh in the world at that time, and he walks into Pharaoh and says this, my God says, let my people go. Man. And then think of the Red Sea crossing. Think of the manna from heaven, the quails. Think of the water from the rock. Think about the cloud, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, guiding them, leading them through the wilderness. I mean, he led the entire nation of Israel out of bondage and marching them toward the promised land. Think about that. I mean, this man was a great man. Not only that, how would you like this one? Who was given the Ten Commandments? Moses. Where did he receive the Ten Commandments from? On Mount Sinai. He was up there for 40 days, 40 nights. Remember, face was shining and all of that. But can you imagine being Moses? You're on that mount. You're talking with the Lord back and forth. And God has these two tablets. And Moses sees the actual, whatever it was, finger of the living God. Write the Ten Commandments. Are you following me? Do you see how this man, to the Jew, was just incredible? And that's what we have to understand this morning. And not only that, God buried Moses. Think about that. Let me read something to you. And God buried Moses in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows where his grave is to this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. And his eyes, they were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. Kind of like me, you know what I mean? And the children of Israel, they wept, because Moses, when he had died. And it goes on to say, listen carefully. Now, since then, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face in all the signs, the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt before Pharaoh, before all of his servants in all the land, and by all the mighty power and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of Israel. I want to get us a Jewish mindset. Do you know the God they learned in Numbers chapter 12, 3, that there was not any man on earth as humble as Moses? Can you imagine having that written about you? I mean, especially if you drive 820, okay? I mean, think about that for a minute. Not only that, it says in Exodus 33, 11, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. Listen to what God the Father says about Moses. Numbers 12, 7. Not so with my servant Moses. He's faithful in all of his house. Faithful. Now, with all that being said, we have six verses to cover. Loved one, I pray that God's sheep, their ears are open and their heart is ready to receive the word of God. Amen. Let's begin. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle, the high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. He says, therefore, that takes us all the way back to chapters 1, chapter 2. We know that Jesus, again, I just said it, better than the prophets, better than the angels. Why? Jesus is the creator. He is the sustainer of all living things. We learned last time we were together, when it says, therefore, we go back to chapter 2, and we learned that Jesus tasted death for how many people? All people, everyone. He tasted death so we would never have to taste death. He destroyed him who had the power over death, and that is the devil. He destroyed him. Not only that, Jesus is the captain or the author of our salvation. He's leading many sons and many daughters to glory, meaning unto heaven. We learned, therefore, that he's not ashamed to call us brethren. He says, therefore, holy brethren, talking to the Hebrew believers, talking to the 21st century church. The word there, holy brethren, means that you have been set apart by the Holy Spirit unto God. You're no longer in Adam. You are now in the last Adam, or in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen to me. No act. I don't care the word holy. Holiness scares people. Because you think holiness means, and I mean no offense to this. Let me back it up. I've been preaching for now 38 years. 38 years. I have preached in every type of church except the Baptist, okay? No. It's a joke. It's a joke. I have preached in Baptist church. I mean, charismatic, hyper-charismatic, dead churches, alive churches, good churches, and crummy churches. No. But here's the thing I want you to see. I used to teach when I was young in holiness churches. That's a trip. They love the Lord, but they try to look holy. They want to please the Lord, so they, maybe they put the bun on top of their head. I'm not knocking that. I'm not beating anybody up, but that doesn't make you holy. Holiness doesn't mean you walk 6 inches off the ground. Do you understand? No act that you do, no act that man can ever even think of doing can make a person holy or make you holy. I'm going to quit playing cards. I'm going to quit chewing tobacco because I'm in Texas. And, you know, it doesn't make you holy. Only God can make a person holy. And we learned the way. Well, how does that happen? You're saved, and then God, what does he do? He sets you apart forever. Amen? Only God can do that. And listen, and that means that your position is absolutely perfect in God's eyes. Your walk is not perfect, but your position is perfect. So he says, holy brethren. And look at this next big word. He says, sharers. Oh, we didn't really consider this. He says, sharers or partakers, that's what the word partakers means, of the heavenly calling. The word heavenly calling is only found here in the New Testament. It means a calling from heaven, a calling to heaven. And this demands great consideration on our part. Don't just glance at it. This is an invitation from Almighty God. God called you from heaven. You didn't know that he was calling you, but that's how you got saved. Amen? You answered the call and you became born again. The Bible tells us that our citizenship, Philippians 3:20, is in heaven. Our great calling. Remember what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth? Ephesians. In chapter 4, verse 1, I beseech you, brethren, that you walk worthy of your calling of which you were called. Remember what worthy, the word worthy means? It's a set of scales in the Greek, the picture, equal in doctrine, equal in application. You're a doer of the word and a hearer of the word. If you don't do that, are you balanced? No, you're off balance. So it says that you walk worthy of the calling by which you were called. What was that calling? It was verse 1 here, the heavenly calling. Now, look at verse 1 again. This is the most important word in our text, the word consider. It is a command, loved one, our second command in Hebrews. It is a command. And this command here is urgent. It's not to be passed by, man. It's to do this right now. Consider. The word means to think deeply, okay? It means to consider very, very carefully. It means to really go over all the facts. Talking about Jesus, all right? Going over all the facts. It means to contemplate, to ruminate. It means to study deeply. Jesus used the same word, consider. In the New Testament, he says, consider the ravens or the birds. Consider the lilies or the flowers of the field. When's the last time you did that? I mean, really, come on. When's the last time you just stopped and considered something? I mean, have you ever just stopped and you looked at maybe a piece of art or whatever it might be, and it stopped you, and you started looking over everything, considering everything from top to bottom, to side, and so forth. Listen, consider. Do you know if you really consider something, It requires time and it requires effort on your part. If you really want to know who Jesus is, you can't give Jesus a casual glance. You can't give your Bible a casual glance. When you read that scripture, you just don't read it. Man, you contemplate. You go over it. You let it get from the head to the heart, for there it comes alive. Amen? Boy, that's so important. That word consider, loved one, that is the most important word that we're going to study this morning. We're going to consider the things that are before us. Listen, to consider something, again, requires time, it requires effort, it requires investigation on your part. A couple of weeks ago, you know what I did? I love art. If you ever came to my house, please don't, but if you ever did, you know, I have art, some that doesn't really matter. I love art. When I was in Paris, I loved the Louvre. I could live at the Louvre. I could stay at the Mona Lisa for hours. I mean, because I'm just in awe of all that. And at home, I have a painting. I look at this painting every day, sometimes three times a day if I'm home, but every day, every day. I looked at it this morning before I left. And this is a painting by Winberg. And it's called, Winberg's a great artist, by the way, The Enchanted Domain. And it is unbelievable, the artwork. And you can't see all that's there. And you have to stop. And so here's what I did. I asked the principal of our school, Miss Heather, I said, do you mind if I bring in a painting that I have by Winberg entitled Enchanted Domain? And I said, I want you to look at it. So I brought it and she looked and said, oh, this is incredible. I said, well, what I want to do is let's do like a contest where the kids can come and have time. It was only 45 seconds, which is not enough time, but to look at it. And how many turtles and birds and raccoons or whatever was there? You follow me? There's like 22 different animals, but if you do a casual glance, you don't see them. So you have to consider. And I love it because I got to go over there only with a few of the kids. And so they would, I mean, when they got it, they go, "Woo! Look!" Because see, they weren't just giving it a glance. They were going, "Look at that fish under deep in the water underneath that big lily pad. Are you following me?" Because you could barely see it. And they started counting them, one, two, and they would write them down. Now, that's what I mean by consider. Consider. Investigate. Think deeply. Look deeply. Get all of the facts together. And he says right here, loved one, how do we consider that, by the way? The Bible says in Hebrews, 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus. Look, the word looking doesn't mean just a glance or gaze. It means you fix your eyes upon him. Amen? Looking unto Jesus, author, finisher of our faith. Verse 3 in chapter 12, it says, consider him. There's that word, meaning Jesus. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners. Consider him. Investigate what he went through, lest you be discouraged in your own souls. You consider. You get all the facts and you open up your Bibles. You get all of those things. Listen, consider Jesus. May I tell you, he's all that you will ever, ever need. Amen. Man, so what was happening here? The Hebrew Christians, okay, they were saved now. They had left Judaism, but with one eye, they were looking to Jesus. But with the other eye, they were looking back at the old covenant. They were looking back to Moses. And so that's what they we're going through. So the author is saying, listen, you've got to put all of your eye focus on Jesus. And that's why it says, consider, that word again, that command, consider Jesus the apostle. Isn't that amazing? Do you ever think about Jesus as the apostle? It's only right here. The only time Christ is called that is here in our text. What does that word mean? It means one who is sent forth, okay? Now, Jesus is the supreme sent one from God, our Father, from heaven to this earth. Why? He had a divine mission. He was, yes, going to die for the sins of the world, amen? But more than that, his mission was in, say, Luke 19:10. Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come that he might, what? Seek and save those who are lost.
Thank you for joining us for the first part of our study on Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. We invite you to join us on Monday as Pastor Bill continues this powerful message. May the Lord bless you with a great weekend. And until next time, remember to hold fast your confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.